Good evening and praise be to the Lord. Shall we open in a word of prayer? Father, we are grateful to be back here again after a few days to fellowship and to learn from your word. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercies in our lives, especially, Lord, as we focus on the attributes of God. We are reminded of how finite we are and how great and awesome you are. We pray, Lord, that our time together would be meaningful and a time of reflections and a time of study. Bless our time together. We pray that you would work among us and teach us from your word. We ask all these in Jesus' precious name. Amen. For the last couple of weeks, we have been studying on the attributes of God. And today we will go into the attribute of God, which is the eternal King. I'd like to read two passages to start with. Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 90, verse 1 and 2. This is a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, forever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Also, if you turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things and by your will they exist and were created. You know, the concept of eternity is something people like us have a hard time to comprehending. You know, we are finite and we see things in a human dimension. But God is in a different realm. It is very difficult to understand when we talk about the eternity of God. God is without beginning. Or in other words, God never had a beginning to start with. And he will never have an end. God always existed and will continue to exist. There are a few verses in connection to that. Psalm 93 and verse 2, we read that you are from everlasting. Deuteronomy 32 and 40, we read, the Lord himself says, as I live forever. Psalm 102 and verse 27, we see, the psalmist says, your ears will have no end. So these are just a few verses that gives us the glimpse of the eternity of God. We also see that God transcends time. So that means that there is no God is not bound by time. You know, this again is something it's hard for us to comprehend because we see just a minute fraction of what is around us. But God's eternity can be put in this way, that it is a duration without beginning or end. It's an existence without bonds or dimensions. It's a present without past or future. It also can be put in this way. God's eternity is youth without infancy or old age. It is a life without birth or death. It is today without yesterday or tomorrow. And these are just things that we can use to kind of give a glimpse of what eternity is and what eternity is to God. And this attribute is about God being an eternal king. And there are many verses that goes along with that. The psalmist says in Psalm 10 and verse 16 that the Lord is King forever and ever. In 1 Timothy 1:17, Paul says, as he was writing the epistle, you know, he breaks out into this song of worship. He says, to the King who is eternal, immortal, invisible, be all glory and honor. So Paul is recognizing who the King is and what his attribute is. Psalm 146 in verse 10, we see that the Lord shall reign forever. The King is reigning forever. There is no end to his reign. And in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 3, we see his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And also in the same chapter, verse 34, we see that his kingdom is from generations to generations. And in the book of Lamentations, chapter 5 and 19, we see that his throne remains from generation to generation. So the kingdom and the throne remains from generation to generation. Kind of gives you the glimpse of the eternal King, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Now, there are many characters in the Bible who have described the Lord in their interaction. And we can see a few verses. Abraham is the first to describe him as the everlasting God. We see that in Genesis 21 and verse 33. And Moses, who wrote Psalm 90, again says, which is a very encouraging verse that we oftentimes read when we go through discouragements and when we need that extra boost. Deuteronomy 33 and 27, a verse that we all have memorized. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. The eternal God and the everlasting arms. And Elihu, in the book of Job, remarks that, behold, God is great, and we do not know him, nor can the number of his years be discovered. So no one can ever fathom the years that is attributed to God. And Prophet Isaiah speaks of him as the everlasting Father. And Daniel calls him the Ancient of Days. In the book of Daniel chapter 7, we see three instances in that same chapter where he calls him or attributes him as the Ancient of Days. And Prophet Habakkuk asked God, are you not from everlasting? Which we see in the book of Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 12. And Apostle Paul says in Romans 16 and 26, the everlasting God. And all these things together gives us a glimpse of the eternity of the God that we worship. God does not live in the realm of time, but he uses the language of time to accommodate himself to our understanding. For us to understand and comprehend, we see that the language of time is used. We all know in Psalm 90 and verse 4 that 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. You know, for us, even 1,000 days is kind of a big deal. You know, sometimes we don't even remember what happened 1,000 days. That is about 3 years prior. Sometimes we don't even know what happened maybe a week before that. But imagine, for God, 1,000 years is just like a day. And we read in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8 that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So, you know, we live in a time where even a day causes panic and anxiety. And when we don't hear something that we are asking of the Lord, maybe a prayer, and we get so caught up in that whole one-day realm. But imagine, for God, 1,000 years is just like a day. So events matter more to God than the time in which it happened. Now, we know that between the writing of the prophet Malachi to the New Testament with the birth of Jesus, there's 400 years spanning between the two events. But we see that the scripture is silent. It doesn't talk much about that. But yet, we see there are 25 chapters devoted to the week the Lord died throughout the Gospels. We see. So for God, events matter more than the time in which it happened. As we ponder over the eternity of God, such thoughts should prompt us in worship. You know, when we come together to worship Him, you know, we think about the attributes of God. We think about who God is. That is the primary focus when we come. And then secondary, we think about what He has done for us. But who is God? And this attribute kind of gives us a glimpse of the greatness of the God that we serve. And the question is that, do these thoughts prompt us to worship Him? Are we wondering, and are we wondering in awe when we come before Him, His beginning without a beginning and His existence without end? Contemplation of the eternity of God teaches us and reminds us of the brevity of life on earth. As we focus on God being eternal from everlasting to everlasting, it also should let us understand how brief our life is. And the psalmist has stated that many places over, that our life is like a vapor, like a shadow. It comes and goes. And there is no comparison when we come before the Lord's presence, when we see how great He is and how small we are in His presence. And does that reflect us or prompt us to worship Him? So the psalmist says, in Psalm 90, Moses says that these reflections should teach us to number our days. When we read and contemplate on how great our God is, what is the response that comes from us? And the desire and the teaching should be that we ought to number our days, and we ought to see how brief our life is, so we may gain a heart of wisdom. Psalm 90 and verse 12. So there are things that we can do for God on this earth that we will never be able to do in heaven. We must do the work of Him who sent us while it is still day. Night is fast approaching when no one can work. John chapter 9 and verse 4. The Lord says that. So the time is of essence for each one of us. We can't put things away from us. We have a responsibility. So God is expecting us that we do the work of Him while it is still day. So the prayer of David in Psalm 39 verses 4 and 5 is that, Lord, make me to know my end and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but vapor. You know, what a powerful statement from David. You know, when we focus on the Lord and we see how great He is, you know, we are just a vapor, essentially, you know. And how humbling is that thought as we come into the presence of God, to be reminded that we are just a vapor in comparison to who He is. And we all are familiar with the hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Isaac Watts says, before the hills in order stood, or earth received a frame, from everlasting Thou art God, to endless years the same. And our response is that, what a great and awesome God we serve. What a privilege it is to worship Him, to know Him, to own Him as our own, to know that we belong to Him. And what a privilege. It is not a burden. As we come, as we worship Him, you know, as we contemplate on these attributes, I believe that that should incite in us a great passion to know that this eternal God, the one who is from beginning to begin to the end, who has no end, from eternity to eternity, has taken an interest in each one of us, had come down to this sinful world and gave himself for us. When we think it all, and as we reflect that, you know, we can only sit in awe and worship him for who he is. And what a privilege it is for us to worship him, to know that we are worshiping a living, eternal God who takes interest in each one of us. Blessed be his holy name.